Our New Testament reading is from the book of Ephesians, and we're working on the third chapter, verses 1 through 21. Hear now the word of our Lord. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you. That is, the mystery made known by me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members of one body, and shares together in the promise of Jesus Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone and the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent is now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purposes, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this is the word of our Lord. Today we spent time going over the prayer list. Why bother praying for people, or why bother praying for yourself? Scripture tells us that God knows what you will pray before you pray it. So why bother if God already knows? Well, we could use that same logic, couldn't we? That God has ordained a plan for you before the earth was formed, God knew you by name. God knew that you would be chosen to be among His people. And God knew that you would live your life. And God had plans to use your life according to His good will. So why should we live our life if God already knows what we will do? Why should we try to be good if God already knows what we could do? We could just live to abandonment and live as we chose to live. Paul talks about the mystery. Paul uses the word mystery throughout his epistles over and over again. Throughout all of his letters, throughout all of his preaching, Paul refers to the mystery. Now, in our modern English language, when a person tells you that something is a mystery, what is it that you conclude about it? It's unknown, right? We don't know what it means. Well, that is one of the difficulties we have in translating the language from that time to now, from one language to another. There's some things that are lost in the translation. And even though we have the King James Version and the various English translations and the various New American translations and all the different translations of the Bible, there's still a disconnect between the words, because sometimes they're just not words in English that convey the same exact meaning as they are in the original language. And in this case, it's particularly true, because when Paul uses the word mystery, and he gives us some hints of this in here, it says here that, for instance, he talks about how this was known, remained unknown at that time. It wasn't a mystery in that no one knew the answer, or that Paul doesn't know the answer. What he's saying is it is a mystery revealed to him. So it is a mystery to only those on the outside. It is a mystery to those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But Paul is preaching to the Ephesians, who have been saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul is telling them that this is no longer a mystery, that they, the Gentiles, they, the people, the uncircumcised, they, the people who are not of Israel by birth or adoption, can receive the salvation of God. They can know God as Lord and Savior, because now you're on the inside. When we talk about us being a Christian, what we mean is that we are people of the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the only way. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are among the initiated. We are among the ones who the mystery is revealed to, not as a mystery, but as truth. We know the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins upon the cross. We know the truth that Jesus bore the wrath of God for our sins. One of the reasons that we use this version on the wall the traditional version of the Apostles' Creed and everything. And I saw the look of surprise when I said to David, I said this morning that we're going to be doing the ecumenical version that was printed in the bulletin, is that David just took on the bulletin for the first time this week and praised God for his service. I mean, who steps up to preach to you? Not the best speaker in the world, not the most knowledgeable guy, and not the most well-educated person in the world, but who steps up to do your bulletin is a person with sight impairment, who's very difficult to do. Praise God for people who will step up and out of their comfort zone and do things. But one of the big differences in the ecumenical version, which most churches use now, and the traditional version of the Apostles' Creed, the big thing is that the traditional version says, "And he descended into hell." And we don't like to think about Jesus descending into hell. We don't like to think about that because that makes us very uncomfortable. But when you think about it, it makes sense. Did Jesus take on your sin or not? Did Jesus take on the sins of you and me as his own or not? Yes, he did. And what is the punishment for sin? It's death. It's hell. Jesus took on our sins and he descended into hell. That's why that is in there. That's why the Westminster Confession reveals that to us, that this is what Jesus did. We are no longer on the outside of the mystery. We are on the inside of the mystery. We're on the initiative side, and we can know the truth. Now, that being said, with God we know, we're always on a need-to-know basis. So how does God remove the sin from you and from me and impute it upon Jesus? I don't know. Why does he have to do that? I don't know. It doesn't tell us that. That still remains a mystery. There's a ton of mysteries in the book, in the Bible and everything, things that we don't understand. But the things that are here are for us to understand and are available for us to understand. And because we are believers in Jesus Christ. And when you try to explain these things to an unbeliever, they look at you like, wow, you've been drinking the Kool-Aid. How many of you have seen that look? When you talk to somebody about their salvation, when you talk to somebody about, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And you get this, like, you're one of them? The answer is, yes, I'm one of them. Paul tells us elsewhere in the scripture that to those who do not believe, it's foolishness. And here he's telling us that it's a mystery that has been revealed. So what is it revealing to us? Well, in verse 6 it says, this mystery is that the gospel, the Gentile, are heirs together with Israel. So one thing that the mystery that is revealed to us is that the chosen people of God, the people of Israel, the people that God chose when he came to Abraham, then called Abram, when he came to him and told him to follow him and I'll tell you where to go, leave everything you know, everything you have, all your family, and follow me, and I'll tell you when you get there. That Israel that he promised to create for him, that would have as many people as there are stars in the skies as descendants, it tells us that we can become, that we are part of that chosen people of God. It tells you that this is not only available to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, which would be us. And then if we go down into verse 12, well, actually starting 11, it says, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So one of the things that the mystery reveals is that through Jesus Christ, something that was never available to the common man before, something that a woman could not wake up in the morning and do before, a child could not do before, a evangelist could not do before, you can approach God directly through Jesus Christ. You can pray to God. You don't have to go through the priest. You don't have to go and make sacrifices to the and offerings that the priest decides whether they are satisfactory or not. You don't have to go before a board or a council. You can bow on your knees and lift your head to Jesus Christ and pray directly and appeal to God through Christ. And that was when Paul is telling them this. Before Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised from the dead, that was not possible. That wasn't available. That was a mystery. How we could communicate with God was a mystery that was held within the tabernacle, was held within the very special places. And after Jesus died and the curtain in the tabernacle was rent from the top to the bottom, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. And we have that access personally and directly. And it's communion. And then down in verse 14 it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Strengthen you with power through his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit not only intercedes for you and is a helper to guide you and to encourage you and direct you from this way to that way to keep you straight on the walking with Jesus Christ, but it also gives you power in his name. And when you kneel and when you pray to Jesus Christ and when you offer your life to Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ for him to intercede in your life, for him to change your life, for him to direct and guide your life, you are given power. And the power is in the name of Jesus Christ, which you personally, individually, can call upon. And then down in verse 18, 17, it says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God." So here we have Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, saying that he kneels and prays to Jesus Christ to ask that you can be given an understanding of the depth and the width and the power of the love that Jesus Christ has for you. Now we tend to pray for things that are the most important to us, and this is what Paul is praying for the Ephesians. Paul feels that it is so important that the Ephesians understand, that you and I understand, that the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God through his Son Jesus Christ, is so broad and so tall and so wide. And here it says surpasses knowledge, but I like the term that we used to sing in Sunday school and on hayrides and things, the peace that passes understanding and everything. We have the peace that passes understanding. The love of Jesus Christ is so broad and so wide and so powerful. How can you go through life afraid? How can we go through life in fear? How can we go through life feeling alone? When we have this broad and deep and high and wide and powerful love of Jesus Christ that you can call upon, and you personally can call upon the power of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spent a lot of time in the garden. Jesus Christ would lead his disciples regularly in the evening to the garden for prayer. Why would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, feel the necessity to pray to God? Why would Jesus Christ, who was fully God, along with being fully man, pray to God the Father? Paul, the apostle, who encountered Jesus Christ face to face, who encountered Jesus Christ and was given the scripture, given the word of God through Jesus Christ directly, says he gets on his knees and prays for you and for me. The power of prayer to God is so big and so broad and so powerful. Yet so many people do not take advantage of the opportunity to commune with God. I mean, how many of you, if you were told that you were going to have a visit by high government officials, the governor of Virginia, the president of the United States, a candidate for presidency of the United States, the king, the queen of England, it doesn't matter who it is that strikes your fancy. If they were coming to town and you had the opportunity to meet and sit down with them person to person, would you do it? Or would you say, nah, I got other things. I'm too busy. If they came and said, I want to meet with you and called you by name, would you do it? And yet, we have the creator of the universe, the creator of you, the person who conjured you up in his mind before the creation of the world and ordained that you not only would be born, but that you would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and is calling you to commune with them, to have a conversation with them, to come and talk to them about what it is that's on your mind, what it is that you need. And would you give up that power? Would you say, I'm too busy? Would you not make time? The idea of having the opportunity to commune with the creator of the universe, the opportunity to have the time to be able to commune with the person who died on the cross in your place. The idea of being able to have a conversation with the person who took my place in hell, who took my place on the cross, who shed his very blood for me so that I could be cleansed from sin. And to pass it up, that time of communion, why would we do that? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks, Lord, for the gift that you have given us. We give you thanks for the gift of not giving up on us, Lord, for calling us in, drawing us in, and demanding that we hear you, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear. We open our eyes to see, that you would draw us into a closer and closer relationship with you, Lord, to have us, Lord, anticipate and look forward to and seek with great joy the opportunity to commune with you, Lord, to spend time in your presence, to spend time in prayer and conversation with you. We ask, Lord, that you would always work in our hearts, and we lift this up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.